In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Behr Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Behr, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Behr Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Behr Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Behr Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
Oh, kiddos, we got a busy, busy evening tonight here on ESPN Radio. And one thing that I did not ever dream would be hitting the air this evening would be Myron Metcalf's memories of the Minnesota Love Boat. With Myron Metcalf and in for Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. And Myron, am I making it up? I mean, it's going to hit the air. Memories with you and trying to track down members of the Minnesota Love Boat. Why are we doing that? Because J.J. McCarthy is done for the year. Jordan Addison got nicked up. And now, but in recent news, we have Matthew Judon going to the Falcons. But am I making it up? There will be memories of you covering the Minnesota Vikings and a Love Boat.
Yeah, Disney memories, you know, that was he couldn't put that on MTV, I don't think, back
don't
in the day.
Don't even go read the Wikipedia page if you're at work, right? Don't do it.
So it was just wild. But I think that's why a lot of people today, a lot of Vikings fans, kind of looked at today and said, man, much of the same. Because we've been there, you know, the fans have been there too many times in this state with moments like this.
It's one thing after another when it comes to the men wearing purple. Touch on that in a moment. But the most recent news from Adam Schefter, New England outstanding edge rusher, pass rusher, just a wrecking machine on the defensive side of the ball. Matthew Judon is headed to the NFC South and to – well, Cam Mushri's beloved Atlanta Falcons. Cam is our producer tonight along with Renee Canellis. Your reaction when you saw Judon out in New England now headed to Atlanta?
I mean, that's a big move for that team, right? I mean, I feel like my thought is that, A, the Patriots realize they're in a rebuilding year, and there's kind of a rummage sale kind of attitude there as they get in under a new coaching staff and new administration. But I think the Falcons are going for it. So I think if you're a Falcons fan, you got to be excited about adding a guy who can get to the quarterback, pressure the quarterback, boost that defense. You bring in Kirk Cousins. Healthy Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. I don't care what anybody says. So I think the Falcons realize there's a window here, and I admire when a team in says, let's add as many pieces as we can and see what happens.
Yeah, you know what? We're scheduled to talk to Atlanta Falcons star wideout Drake London tomorrow. Timing could not be better, so excited to get his perspective on adding some talent and a threat on the other side of the ball. I mean, this could be the best edge rusher and the first consistent edge rusher the Falcons have had since what? John Abraham?
I mean, yes.
It's been a minute. Yeah. It's been a minute.
Yeah. It's been a while. No, it's been a while. And I think, you know, in that division, everything is so even every year in the NFC South. I mean, it's a division decided by a game or two. A lot of times, I mean, Tampa Bay goes into week 17 with a chance to clinch against the Saints, and they lose that game, right? Like, it's just that tight in the NFC South. You had a guy like this, and maybe that's the advantage you need to secure that division and get into the playoffs.
Yeah, you look at it, I would not be surprised if Atlanta won the NFC South, if the Saints won that division, or if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won that division. Yeah. That's a team that won a playoff game last year. None of what the teams I just said would surprise me one bit. But I do believe Atlanta – then Tampa, then New Orleans. It's like 1A, 1B, 1C are in that order, but it's that close. So to your point, when you are that close, one play from a guy like Judon can decide whether you make the postseason by winning that division or if you're making tee times, which you skip a lot from what I hear. You know, if you're making tee times and heading to or going fishing, come January. So huge coup for Atlanta, giving up a third rounder for Matthew Judon. If you are just tuning in, he's leaving New England and headed to the Peach State. Now to where you reside in Minnesota, J.J. McCarthy, the outstanding national championship quarterback from Michigan. first-round draft pick for the Vikes, done for the year with a torn meniscus, and this is the worst possible news. It was one of two things. Repair the whole stinking thing, right, and go ahead and plan for next year, and that's the safe move. Or when the docs got in there, do you just kind of repair it, and he's back in 3 to 4 weeks? And I said last night, Myron, this is a no-brainer for me. If it's even a decision, if it's 50-50, you do what's best for the long term, not the short term, and that's exactly what Minnesota did. He is done for the year. So you live there. What have your neighbors, friends, the reaction been since hearing J.J. McCarthy is done for the entire year?
Well, there's a lot of disappointment and sadness. I mean, because of how good he looked in the preseason and mini camp. Although Sam Darnold was going to be the starter coming into the season, I think a lot of people thought that eventually we would see J.J. McCarthy at some point. Remember, J.J. McCarthy turned 21 in January. I mean, this is one of the youngest players in the NFL right now. But I think the good news is, to your point, Ian, you wanted him to take care of it all right now. So if he has to miss the season,
no doubt,
and that helps his career down the road, you do that. You just hate for him to lose that development year because he was on such a strong track, considering what we've witnessed in the preseason from him.
Look, I've said this before. I'm on this Sam Darnold island, and I'm damn near alone. I'm like Jack Sparrow out here, you know, because I covered him a lot at USC, and when he got drafted by the Jets, I'm like, okay. But then we saw Adam Gase trying to have him run Peyton Manning's offense. Well, no one's running Manning's offense and Arians' offense like they did. I mean, it's not going to happen. So that was obviously a worst-case scenario for Darnold. Then he goes to Carolina, isn't any better. Then he goes to, like a reclamation project and quarterback rehab out in San Fran with Kyle Shanahan. We saw him in December, and he's like, oh, wait a minute. That looked like the dude that was playing for the men of Troy. And now he goes to Kevin O'Connell, and I'm excited to see if the guy we saw at SC finally shows up in the National Football League with back-to-back years of good coaching. So if there's any saving grace to your point, Sam Darnold was slated to be the starter to begin with. That's the positive, and I'm hoping that the guy that I saw a lot of in college now shows up in the NFL all these years later as a journeyman quarterback. But going back to J.J., yeah, he takes some mental reps, but, man, you're missing a year of practice. And I'm a big J.J. McCarthy fan. He doesn't care if he has to hand it off 40 times to win or if he needs to throw it 40 times to win. Just go back to the Penn State game last year. They didn't throw the ball in the second half. Why?
Yeah.
Because they were averaging 8 yards a carry. Sherrone Moore should have not been allowed on the team playing if they threw a pass in the second half. And J.J. McCarthy did not care. He's the ultimate team guy that can throw a deep ball, can make every throw to every level, and is a very cerebral, quarterback and also a leader of men. So that's the downside, man, because he has an infectious type attitude, and to not have him in practice, yeah, he'll be in meetings, he'll get the mental reps, but to miss a year of ball, man, that just stings, Myron. That stings big time.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because, to your point, the development. I mean, and Kevin O'Connell, man, if he can do anything, it's develop quarterbacks, right? That's one of his specialty. That's what he's done so well throughout his career. And to have a guy, again, I'll say it a million times, who just turned 21, it has so many years ahead of him. I mean, you think about Michael Penix Jr., I think Michael Penix is 25. So there's just a lot of time for J.J. to grow, but you don't get to grow when you're injured the same way you would if you weren't. So that'll be a challenge, but I also think he has a lot of time to continue to get better. Everybody said, hey, this is the guy who handed the ball off at Michigan. Can he throw? That was the big question.
Right.
And when you talk to the Vikings,
it was ridiculous. It was the dumbest thing. I mean, it was absurd.
But the good thing was when the Vikings talked about it, the leadership talked about it, they said, we saw him make the throws. We went out to the combine. We went to Michigan. We witnessed him make those throws. And we found out in the preseason that he's a guy who can make those plays, but he just wasn't asked to do that, which only made people more excited here, Ian, about his future and the possibility of him being the next franchise quarterback. Obviously, that plan is going to have to wait at least for another year.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Now to Myron's Minnesota memories. You rattled off so many horrific memories from Minnesota Vikings fans off the top of your head in our pre-show meeting. Floor is yours, Myron. Just fire away. Just off the top of your head, where is this? Go ahead and the litany of awful things that have happened to the Vikings franchise.
You guys want to give me a music bed? Do we want to do that?
Come on,
you want to give me like a little,
get a little
give
flow.
Me a little music?
Let's get some flow.
Give me a little music.
Come on with it. Come
give
on with it. Here we
got
go.
A little music.
Canellas over there. Blondie.
Let me tell you about the curse of the Minnesota Vikings with someone who has witnessed it from the beginning. First, you have Ontario Smith, the Wizinator. You remember that, Ian?
I forgot
when he did a little mixing and matching to try to pass a drug test. Let me tell you about Ontario Smith. I was the first person to interview Ontario Smith when he came to Minnesota. I said, "Hey, Ontario, I'm a young reporter. Who are you? Tell me about yourself." He said, "You know what? They call me 3D. I can block, I can catch, I can run." When he described himself as 3D, I knew the Vikings were in trouble. And lo and behold, Ian, a few months later, he gets in trouble for the Wizinator scandal. Now, you might say, that's too crazy to be topped. Not with the Minnesota Vikings, because there was also the Love Boat scandal. I can only give you the Disney version. But I can tell you that some players rented a couple of yachts on Lake Minnetonka. They were scheduled in to be on a four-hour cruise, right, to enjoy themselves. They were called back 40 minutes into this four-hour cruise because of all the chaos that was going on. Fred Smoot flying people in, all types of stuff going on. I'm a young reporter. They asked me to go out to talk to the people who've been involved in the Love Boat scandal. I go to Bryant McKinney's house. I knock on his door.
Remind people who may not remember Bryant McKinney. He's as big as a house. What, 6'5", 340
Bryant McKinney
back then?
Oh, 6'8". Bryant McKinney was 6'8".
Oh, my God.
330 plus. He had hands that could palm the moon, right? That's how big his hands were. I knock on the door. In the middle of the day, he sees me. He walks up to the door. It was honestly like Paul Bunyan or something walking to the door. I said, "Hey, I'm a reporter. Want to talk to you about what happened?" He said, "Get out of my house." And you know what I did, Ian? I got back in my car and I didn't have any follow-up questions. There wasn't going to be no investigation from me. I wasn't going to ask you for more answers after you told me that. So then there's that situation. I remember when they got Brett Favre, 2000. Now it was great. They tried to do it again in 2010. Guess what? It didn't work out so well for them. I remember when they found Donovan McNabb. I don't know. Was he on the beach somewhere enjoying himself? They tried to get another yard of McNabb. Couldn't even throw a 10-yard out. There's been a lot of chaos with the Minnesota Vikings beyond what you all have witnessed today.
It's a callous fan base, and now the hits just keep on coming with J.J. McCarthy done for the year. The good news is Jordan Addison got carted off the field today, their star wide receiver out of SC, who did get pulled over for going about a $1.40 in your neighborhood right by your house.
140 miles an hour by my house. Nobody goes 62 miles an hour by my house. Why are you going 140, Ian? It's all chaotic. This is what the Vikings specialize in. They are chaos experts.
The good news is, Addison, it doesn't appear that it's going to be long-term or a severe ankle injury. He should be okay. There's your positive after that remarkable list off the top of Myron Metcalf's head of Minnesota memories covering the Vikes back in the day as a young reporter. He's Myron Metcalf, in for Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. Coming up, best case, worst case for this NFC team running the NFL right here on ESPN Radio.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPN pod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPN pod at checkout.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7-foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you're betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fadeaway jumper from the left wing hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona called 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts 1-800-327-5050. Iowa 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico called 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This is
180.
ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days. The New Orleans Saints. This is Catherine Terrell covering the Saints. The Saints have kicked off their first week of training camp in Irvine, California, and the biggest question is, how do they move forward with Alvin Kamara? Kamara has made no secret that he's searching for a new contract despite two disappointing seasons, but there hasn't been much progress on that front. The 29-year-old running back is looking for security beyond 2025, but he doesn't plan to hold out if he doesn't get it. Kamara will likely be featured in Clint Kubiak's new offense, making this a pivotal season for him if a new contract doesn't emerge. Kamara stressed that his age doesn't mean he's anywhere near done. Kamara said, "I just know I don't feel like I'm on the decline. I feel like I can play 4 or 5 more years if I want to."
Bold statement right there from Alvin Kamara. 4 or 5 more years in this modern era of a running back would be remarkable. With Myron Metcalf in for Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. You're on ESPN Radio. Best case, worst case for the New Orleans Saints. Let's get to it right now.
Best case.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Worst case.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
It was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Best case, worst case with Amber and Ian.
Hell, Myron, the worst case maybe would happen in Atlanta for the New Orleans Saints. If you are just tuning in, Matthew Judon from the New England Patriots, it looks like it has been agreed to compensation. He is going to the Atlanta Falcons for a 3rd-round pick going back to New England. That is from our Adam Schefter. We'll touch on that more when we get to worst case for the New Orleans Saints. Let's begin positive, Myron. We're positive people. Best case scenario, in your opinion, for my mom's beloveds, the New Orleans Saints?
Well, I mean, that division is always, you know, up for grabs, it feels like, because the teams are so close. It's so hard to win on the road in that division. The fan bases are wild, as you know. I think best case scenario is that this new Clint Kubiak offense runs smoothly and the Saints are able to move the ball. Obviously, you lose guys like Michael Thomas. Alvin Kamara hasn't been the same. But I think bringing in another visionary, if you will, offensively, should be a big boost. Offensive line, there's some question marks there, but we know what that defense will be. So I think best case scenario is they're at the top of the division because I think, you know, this is a division where 9-10 wins, as it is every year, could be what gets you there. So I think that's probably the best case scenario.
I agree with you. Now, you got to be able to tote it in Kubiak's offense, and that's where we come in with Alvin Kamara again. He wants that new deal, but he's not holding out, right? And then you have Jamal Williams backing him up. There is depth at the running back position. And you have the ultimate Swiss Army, right, in Taysom Hill, who, you know, you go back to the start of camp, Kubiak was talking about how he's going to line up all over the place, even a little bit of fullback, you know, wide out, tight end, whamming a nose. I mean, he is a remarkable asset for any team. And Taysom Hill is that kind of weapon. This is one where we got to get – I just went we there. I'm like, you know, talking to my mom now. Chris Olave has got to get more touches. He has to be targeted more. He's just a fantastic talent out of Ohio State and a first-round pick a couple of years ago. The offensive line, solid. Now you go to the defensive front. Is Cam Jordan going to have one more great year? I mean, he was first-round pick back in 11. He has had a spectacular and long career for a defensive lineman. Can we get there I go again. Can they get a couple more years out, at least one more good year, out of Cam Jordan? Because if it can't, it's all on Brian Bresee, and whoo, that's going to be tough.
Well, I mean, we saw how Aaron Donald went out. I mean, still playing at a very high level. I think Cam Jordan can do the same. You know, I think you're talking about high-level guys who – in this era, it's not like you turn 30 anymore, Ian, and everything's over. You know, just the way guys are staying in shape, the way they're working out. So I think that's a big question. If you can get more from Cam Jordan, I feel like you can. But that offense is going to be better, and I think that's going to take a lot of pressure off of that defensive unit as well.
I mean, DeMario Davis is just a leader of men. When he breaks down the pregame huddle, I'm like, can I pad up? I know I'm gonna tear an ACL and have my head snap before I even take the field, but he's still – As a remarkable leader and a steal years ago from the New York Jets. And then you look in the secondary, you had Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, the second-round pick in the draft. I think that fortifies that secondary a bit. Yeah, so best-case scenario for me, I'm with you. They find a way to sneak in and win the division. Now, worst-case scenario for the New Orleans Saints, Myron, is?
The Clint Kubiak offense doesn't click because Alvin Kamara doesn't bounce back, doesn't give you that kind of season that you would expect him to give when he's looking for a new contract. You don't get the ball enough to Chris Olave. And Cam Jordan, age creeps in, and maybe he's not the same guy. So I think that's the worst-case scenario. And in this division, that can put you in third place rather easily. So it's first to third, and not being in the playoffs is probably that worst-case scenario.
Yeah, worst-case scenario is the Atlanta Falcons getting Matthew Judon, because he might be able to make that one play, that one sack, even at 31 years of age, right, where he was a stud with the Ravens, had a few good years with the Pats. Didn't see eye to eye with Gerard Mayo, new head coach taking over for the hoodie in New England, and now he is with the Falcons. He is that kind of player, man, that can make one play that not only switches a game, but in that division, as tight as it is, can actually wreck you. And next thing you know, you're playing golf if you show up for a tee time. So, worst case, they just flat out they just missed the playoffs, because a wild card is not coming out of the NFC South. You got to win it to be in it, or you're out. End of conversation.
Yeah, and that's just the bottom line. And Matthew Judon just gives you more to think about when you're playing the Falcons. I mean, the Falcons getting better on defense is bad for everybody in that division, especially when the Saints have some holes on the offensive line. I think that's a big question mark as well.
No doubt. Now, having said that just now, it's like vinegar on my palate, because Cam Ushery is our producer, and he's a dirty bird. And so right now he's just kicking back with his boots propped up, enjoying every bit of this.
I'm loving it all, Ian.
I know.
I'm loving it all. I love you, man.
Damn dirty birds. I mean, I swear to you. That is one of the more underrated rivalries, not just in the NFL, but in sports. It's like a college rivalry between New Orleans and Atlanta. And it goes back to when I was a kid in the late 70s, early 80s growing up. I mean, I remember Chuck Muncy wearing an Atlanta hat because they just beat the Falcons. That's how nasty it was.
It's one of those things, Ian. Every time I see those games, I feel like you got to be able to fight to go to those games if you go to a Saints-Falcons game, you know.
If you are a brave soul, if you show up at the Dome for a late window kick and you're wearing Falcons gear, I mean, you're taking your life into your own hands, because it is going to be cannibalistic in that joint, I promise you. He's Myron Metcalf in for Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. All right, a man who accomplished the ultimate double dip in football, a national champion, a Super Bowl champion, scheduled to join us right here on ESPN Radio.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams, because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Myron, many years ago, I may or may not have inadvertently helped our next guest get out of a speeding ticket. With Myron Metcalf in for Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM channel 80. The hair's perfect. It's meticulous. I got to find out who his barber is. I'll be in Columbus, Ohio for Iowa, Ohio State, October 5th. I cannot wait to go back to a place I once called home. He's a national champion. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's a good friend. You catch him on the Pat McAfee Show every single day. A.J. Hawk returns here to ESPN Radio. A.J., how we doing, man? How we doing? Got to push a button. That was a great intro, too, man.
Oh, I mean, man. Hey, Ian.
Yeah, come on.
You got me? I don't know what happened there. That's on me with my service or whatever I was doing with my mute button. But, yeah, Ian, you're the guy that know in Columbus and this whole state of Ohio. If you ever needed anything or you needed anything done, I mean, I pretty much still call Ian, actually.
You're so full of it. I can't even remember how we got you out of a speeding ticket. I don't know what we were doing. You just you text me like the next day going, hey, man, appreciate you getting me out of that ticket. Were we doing an interview or something when you got pulled over?
Yeah, maybe I just finished with you or something. I think maybe, like I was honestly referencing before, I think the cop may have said something to me about you because he had heard us on an interview with you or something, or he knew you or he liked listening to you. Like, oh, yeah, Ian's the man or whatever. And the guy's like, all right, have a great day. Get my license back and send me on my way.
I don't have that kind of stroke anywhere else, Myron, I promise you. And I didn't even know I had it back there. I had no idea. Hey, AJ, before we start having fun and whatnot, let's get into some of the – because there's some big news here in the National Football League. Let's start with J.J. McCarthy. If you're on the Minnesota Vikings, even though he wasn't penciled in to be your starter, but you saw what he did in Michigan, you've seen what he's done in practice, you saw the first preseason game, and I know it's preseason. How does that impact a locker room when a guy like that goes down for the year?
Yeah, it definitely is. It's jarring, I think, for the team. And, you know, in football, obviously it's always next man up and what you're going to do. And I know Sam Darnold is there. It's a reason that they signed a guy like him. So hopefully Sam could find a way to kind of, you know, revamp his career. But with J.J., I mean, yeah, everything looks so good. And he's all the right things. Like, he seems like one of those guys that is super mature coming out of college already. His arm is – honestly, I got to watch him play – his last two games is his college career. Man, that dude can sling it. Like, he's just an all-around athlete, too. So it sucks that, yeah, we went in thinking, what, he's going to maybe get a knee scope or something, and now, bam, they hit us and say that he's out for the season. So hopefully, obviously, they're doing it to help with his long-term health so he can have a nice long career. But, man, it's going to be tough now to wait another 9, 10, 11 months before we get to watch him on the field.
You've obviously dealt with injuries, watch other young players deal with injuries at the next level. How do you, you know, keep going and develop and grow as a young player when you're sidelined the way that he will be?
Man, it's tough. I think it's tough at any age. Like, I know when I got hurt my first game my senior year in high school and had to miss like 6 games, I think, or something like that, with some knee surgery. I came back for like my last 2. Like, it's just a brutal time. It's weird because you feel like I can't even enjoy myself anywhere. I'm just rehabbing 20 hours a day, trying to do whatever you can to get back to it. So I think you have to mentally kind of get over that hurdle and realize, like, all right, if I sit here and mope and I think woe is me, like, it's going to be longer and longer till I get to be back out there with my teammates. So I think you have to use this motivation, but it's not easy. Like, I think as a young person, you know, high school, college, obviously early in your NFL career, when you kind of have your first injury that sidelines you for some time, it's tough to handle. You got to find a way to kind of fight through it and make it a positive.
A.J. Hawk, Super Bowl champion, national champion for the Ohio State Buckeyes, joining us here on ESPN Radio with Myron Metcalf in for Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. And now you switch gears and go to the latest news, and that is Matthew Judon going from New England to Atlanta. How much better are the Falcons getting that edge rusher now in the NFC North in a division that's going to be really tight between 3 teams?
Yeah, I know. I mean, Judon's a monster. I saw that hit a little bit ago. His whole situation going on with New England, it seemed like everything was going well. I don't know. I guess what they're just – were they shopping him the whole time or however they're working things out? I don't know exactly the logistics to it. But, yeah, with Atlanta, they got to be pretty – Raheem's got to be very excited for bringing him in, obviously. You got Kirk and Penix out there pulling the trigger at the quarterback position. But Judon, like, when you have a guy like that on the edge, like, just his presence alone is going to get a lot of the O-linemen and the back and the tight ends' attention the majority of the play. So he's a guy that can be an absolute game wrecker. And, man, especially on that turf in Atlanta when they're playing at home, man, that guy can turn the corner with the best of them. So it's going to be fun to watch.
You obviously know Aaron Rodgers well, and he's coming back from this Achilles injury. What do you expect from him at this age coming off a serious injury like that?
Man, I don't know if you guys have been watching some of the clips coming out from camp, but I think it's safe to say he can still sling it. His Achilles feels pretty good. I mean, I know, I guess just because Aaron's done it forever, he's done it for so long, people say like, oh, there's no guarantee he's going to continue to play that way. But, man, I haven't seen any signs of him dropping off. First off, he can still move around very well. I feel like he seems to be in great shape. So I know he doesn't have to, and that's not his game exactly to be moving around and getting outside the pocket all the time. But I think you'll still see him scramble and convert some of those huge, you know, third and six, third and eight plays where he just breaks the defense's back. But his arm is as live as it's ever been, I think. So I think the decision-making, it's only going to get better. I think the more reps he gets in that offense and the more reps he gets just playing that, I look for big things from Aaron. I think it's going to be a fun year, and we'll see how they seem to have all the pieces in place around him, too. And the defense is very, very good with Jeff Ulbrich, their D coordinator, I have a ton of respect for. I'm pumped to watch them play this year, but I hope they come out, get out to a hot start. I think that might cool everything off a little bit and calm people down and kind of settle in for the long haul of the season.
Oh, you think it's a little heat around the Jets for some reason there, AJ?
No, I'm saying if they come out and they start out 1-4, then there will be. Yeah, then we'll be talking about all kinds of stuff. So I'm saying let's get out to a hot start.
We're talking about the Jets as much as the Cowboys now, AJ. They're in the A block every show on every network, man.
I tell you what, it's a weird time right now, huh? In the NFL, everywhere, it's a crazy world we're living in.
Hey, what's that Derby trip like with your crew?
Oh, man, it's awesome. I don't know how many years I've been going now, but Aaron gets, you know, he's Aaron, so he has a great setup there, and he's been going forever. Like, way back in the day, he was going and has a great couple of tables up there that we go Friday for the Oaks and Saturday for the Derby. And the crew is kind of ever-changing as we've gotten older, but there's, you know, obviously some staples there. Bakhtiari, Randall Cobb's been around for most of them. Devontae's part of it. There's some awesome guys, Jimmy Graham, just some awesome people. And for me, you know, I don't get to hang out with those guys too much, and even getting us all together, it's pretty rare. And I think the older you get, kind of cool. The older you get, you actually think about that, and you're sitting there like, man, this is cool that we all get to hang out for a couple of days. Like, this doesn't happen nearly as much as it should. So I'm glad Aaron is still doing that trip. I'm hoping he continues that thing, and I'll be tagging along.
To your 70.
I'm curious. Obviously, AJ, there was an era where not that long ago, Ohio State dominated Michigan. Last couple years, that kind of turned around with Michigan getting the best of the Buckeyes. We find out that the Michigan approach may have been a lot like the Houston Astros and how they won the World Series with some allegations about getting a little assistance. How do you view all that in terms of the success Michigan has had? And what sort of penalties, if all this is true, do you think they should face?
Man, I don't know. It's weird with the whole penalties thing because you don't want to penalize players aren't going to get penalized. You shouldn't be penalizing guys that weren't even there at the time or, you know, have nothing to do with whatever it was going on. I don't even know, but I'm not sure because I never know how to view all the, you know, like Deflategate when that was going on. Like, I'm like, who cares how much air is in the ball? I don't care if you want to throw a ball that has, you know, it's barely pumped up. So, however, you still have to throw the thing. So I don't know. Like, I don't know how much whatever went on with the whole situation, but all I know is I went and watched, I referenced earlier, I went and watched Michigan play in person, and I couldn't help but just have a ton of respect for how they played and the dudes they had. Like, they were, it was just fun to watch. Like, I was in the end zone watching their defense play and just watching, like, their closing speed and how fundamentally sound and how, like, they do everything. They were just doing everything right. It seemed, I just loved how they played. It was like an old school throwback. And so I know for Ohio State, man, like, you got to find a way to win. You have to. And if you don't, things don't go, things aren't great in Columbus. If you're losing to Michigan, I think everybody feels that. So they know the pressure's on. They know Ohio State has all they're loaded up. They got an unbelievable roster, and let's see if they can go out there and execute. But I think they know, like, hey, you got as much pressure as you possibly could as a college football team right now, and hopefully they thrive under that.
Man, AJ and AJ Hawk here with us on ESPN Radio with Myron Metcalf. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. We were talking to one former NFL GM off air that was at practice the other day, and he's like, this team looks like a damn NFL roster. I mean, I don't know how often you get over to practice and watch these guys, but like Jeremiah Smith, I'm hearing he's just your true freshman wideout. I mean, people are like,
Yeah, he's
one
a man.
Year and he's a man. What does this team look like? Go ahead.
They look awesome. So I haven't been to practice this camp yet. Just talking to Mark D'Antoni about going soon. Hopefully my kids are starting – school starts tomorrow. It's crazy they're already going back. So we're getting that situated. But Jeremiah Smith, I was at a recruiting event in June. I went – my buddy James Laurinaitis, a linebacker coach there, and Coach Day is awesome. And there was an event at the stadium, and it was like, they were hosting a bunch of recruits. I think it was one of the official visit weekends. And so I was there talking to some of the recruits and the parents and all the current players that were there. And before we left, we looked, and I brought my three boys and two of their friends came with us. And we're looking, and we're like, what is that over there? And like, oh, James, like, oh, it's Jeremiah Smith. You know, we're like, what? That's Jeremiah Smith? Like, we've known of him and heard about him and seen him on TV, but seen him in person. Like, he's such a freak. Like, how he – just the stature and how big and strong he is. And I know he can move. You probably shouldn't be able to move when you're that big. And just hearing, like, the coaches and other players talk about him, like, okay, this should be a fun year to watch this guy play. And that's just one piece of the puzzle. They got people everywhere and the majority of the defense back. And then you pick up Caleb Downs, the safety, who, you know, people talk about the guy being, you know, another coach on the field. And he's just an unbelievable talent. So I can't wait to watch him play. And I mean, it's going to be awesome. And I don't know how many – you say you're coming for the Iowa game. I don't know if – hopefully you get to come to some more later. But, man, don't you think it's – don't you think things should be going pretty well for the Bucks?
Pencil them in to the Final Four, man, in the college football playoff. Yeah. They're loaded. Absolutely loaded.
But isn't that hard, though? Not hard, but it's a great thing that – yeah, like, I don't know. It's like watching the Chiefs play. Like, okay, the regular season, here we go. It doesn't really matter for them what happens at the very end
of
the year.
Well, you tell us, dude. You play now. Yeah, you tell us, man. Is it hard even for college guys now? If you're making that kind of money and it's a longer season, how hard would that be to manage those expectations?
I don't think so. I think for fans, you still got me?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my bad. I think for fans, you get into such a routine and it's like, okay, here every Monday, too. I know exactly what I'm doing every single day and all the extra stuff I'm doing. And you just – as a player, too, though, I know – no matter who you're playing, you're like, you respect them. Like, these guys are good. I get my head knocked off if I take these people lightly. So as fans, it's easy to take it lightly and say, oh, we only won this, you know, we won 48-6. That wasn't enough for this game. Like, we should have scored 70. And people just see what they, you know, what you didn't do, I guess. But as players, no, I think you always know, like, hey, these guys are running. These guys are hitting. They can all play. And we better bring it.
Well, fans, I don't care what it is, man. It ain't easy to win on Saturdays. It ain't easy to win on Sundays. I don't care who you're playing. So take the dub and enjoy it. But your squad is absolutely loaded. Your hair's perfect. You're an outstanding American. Love talking to you, catching up, man. You're one of our favorite players to cover, and we will see you in Columbus down the road. AJ, thanks for the time, as always, here on ESPN Radio on the Inside, brother.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
See you, man. By the way, school starts for him tomorrow. It started for us in Dallas on Monday. That's no bueno. It's never fun. Never, ever fun for that. Always good catching up with the guy who wore 47 and 5-0 for the Buckeyes and Patriots. All right, coming up, Titans quarterback Will Levis really got us thinking about some disgusting things. So we'll share them with you right here on ESPN Radio.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the new Prologue EV, there's a lot that could impress you about it. There's the class-leading passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit honda.com/EV to see offers.
Levis, quarterback, Tennessee Titans, while at Kentucky, playing quarterback for the Wildcats, famously ate bananas with the peel on and was known to put mayonnaise in his coffee. With Myron Metcalf in for Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio. That and a whole lot more is why I love Will Levis. He doesn't care. He marches to his own beat. He has said that he's only done mayo in the coffee a couple times, and the reason he did it that one time was mayonnaise was on the table. They didn't have any cream and sugar, and his girlfriend goes, hey, why don't you try that? He did, and it wasn't that bad. But he says he doesn't do it all the time. Well, he now has a cologne that is mayo-infused. Can't make it up, Myron.
I'm trying to figure out, like, what that smell. Like, how do you make
mayonnaise?
Mayo in a perfume.
Mayonnaise, if you've ever seen an officer and a gentleman. Mayonnaise.
Yeah. All right, I don't know how you make that good, man.
Myron, the commercial is tremendous. He not only owned it, he leaned into it. And you have to, right? He leaned into it so far, it's like this – he's wearing this white shirt, unbuttoned. You know, got the drapes and the fans going. The wind's blowing, and it's Parfum de Mayonnaise.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, and it looks like a Dolce & Gabbana ad, right, where he's about to dive off a cliff doing some light blue ad. So I give him full credit. He's that kind of personality. But it led us to this because some people believe that mayonnaise is disgusting. So in our pre-show meeting, we started getting into what are some of the things that we like that others might deem just absolutely nauseating and would make you boot in a toilet right now. Phone lines are open on this also at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Myron, you came up with one that the entire crew damn near booted on their boots. What do you got?
Yeah, well, I don't get what everybody was so up in arms about. I like biting into onions like apples.
I'm vomiting.
I like onions to that. I love onions, man. And I will take an onion and I will bite into it and like you bite into an apple.
So you skin it off. Like, what made you do this? What made you do this to begin with? Because you peel back the onion and then you just take a big old hunk out of it. Like white onion, yellow onion, red onion. Does it matter?
Some of us are just onion guys, Ian, okay? And I'm in that category. Some people, it's just the flavoring. I love onions. I really love onions. And I was younger maybe for the first time. But I will bite into an onion, man, and I love it.
I'm vomiting.
Have you tried it? Have you tried it?
I like onions sautéed. I like a red onion on a sandwich sliced up. But there is no way. Absolutely zero chance that I'm putting mayo in my coffee or I'm biting into an onion like an apple. It's not happening.
You can't knock it till you try it. You gotta just take a little bite of an onion and see how you like it. I'm telling you, man, it'll change you.
Let's go around the
horn. It'll change you.
Cam, would you bite? Cam Ruchery, producer tonight, and for James Steele, would you bite into an onion like an apple?
No, absolutely not.
Renee Blondie Canellis.
You couldn't pay me enough money to do that.
I'm with you.
You're missing out. Right. More onions for me, fellas.
Missing out on what though? You're biting into something that's raw feeling.
I enjoy.
No, it's nasty.
This was about what we enjoy, right? This is about preferences.
This is about the topic that's something that you love that will be deemed disgusting by others. Like, a lot of people don't like mayo. I don't mind mayo. Yeah. I'm not taking a bite of mayo in a spoon. But I put it on a sandwich, like a spread, like it's intended. Yeah. But people will eat that stuff like right out of the jar.
I'd rather honestly eat mayo than bite into a raw onion.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you'd rather take a spoonful
of mayo than taking a bite of an onion? I'm just like a little, little swig. Dip your pinky in it, and that's it.
I've eaten a lot of crazy stuff being from the boot in Louisiana, right? I mean, I've had crawfish water and tequila. I mean, and it's just called a crawfish Rita, and it'll get you, Bubba. It'll get you. It'll put some hair on your chest. I've had rattlesnake sausage.
Oh, how
some
is that?
Some people deem that
I've never
disgusting.
Heard that.
I'm in.
Is Kirk it good? What did it
hell
taste
yeah,
like?
It was good. It was I didn't know it was rattlesnake when I ate it. Then they told me afterward, and it was damn good. Like a mesquite smoke to it. It was awesome.
You got to get the right people to prepare that, though, right, Ian?
Yes, sir.
Poison,
no doubt.
Right?
Be
your last meal.
You're not eating the fangs.
Be your last meal. I'm just saying.
Let's see if we can squeeze one in here. Kirk from North Carolina. Kirk, what do you got?
Vegemite, the spread from Australia. I like it so much that I turned the Aussies off to it.
You've had a Vegemite sandwich?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They made a song after
dinner.
Oh, dude, Kirk.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, but again, he likes it. Others deem it disgusting.
That's his thing. I respect it. But that's your thing.
Quickly, from David from New Mexico. I think he agrees with you, Myron. David, you're on ESPN Radio.
Hey, yeah, my brother-in-law is from Puerto Rico, or is Puerto Rican, but he and his family eats onions like apples. Nephews do it.
I'm telling you, it's a thing. It's a thing, man.
We're going to have to pick this back up later in the show because the phones are lighting up, and I can't believe we actually had somebody agree with you that and it actually does the same thing. Eats onions like a stinking apple. He's Myron Metcalf. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. One of our NFL insiders joins us next to give you the latest on Matthew Judon to Atlanta and the latest in Brandon Ayuk.
This year, Santa's bringing the power of Energizer into his workshop.
Whoa, the Energizer Bunny's got so much power.
Wait, he's powered up all the toys. I think that means we're done for the year.
I love this bunny.
He's the hardest working helper the North Pole has ever seen. And he wants all your gifts to have the power of the number one longest lasting AA battery. So this holiday season, stock up on Santa's and the elves' favorite battery, Energizer Ultimate Lithium.
Stay in San Fran.